Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me today's sermon title, Throwing Away the Black Book of Revenge. Based on our gospel reading from today, Matthew 5, these verses. Jesus said, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Today's a very challenging message, and I especially ask you to follow along your sermon outline as we consider our theme, Throwing Away the Black Book of Revenge. In the classic John Wayne movie, gotta love John Wayne. In the classic John Wayne movie, The Quiet Man, John Wayne's movie character must battle the brother of a woman he loves as he's gone back to his ancestral home of Ireland. Her brother's name is Red Danaher. Red is an Irish landowner with few friends and a long list of enemies. In fact, one of Red's hired men has the job of updating Red Danaher's list of enemies. Red has given this man a special black book with the names of all those who have offended him. And when he's bothered or offended by anything, he tells his hired man, "Take out the black book." Then Red dictates to the man the name of the most current offender. But writing his name in the black book isn't enough. Then Red shouts out, "Strike a line through it." That's a signal that an act of revenge is coming soon against the one whose name was written in Red Danaher's little black book. Now, you probably don't have a black book in which you've written the names of people who have offended you. I certainly hope you don't. But you probably do have a book in the memory banks of your mind, a record of those who have hurt you and offended you. And the problem with many of us sinners is we don't want to give up that little black book. In today's gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus invites us to recycle and rewrite our black book of revenge. We can turn in our black books and replace them with the good book. And listen to what Jesus says today in his good book, the Holy Scriptures, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You know, there definitely is in our world, a black book philosophy. It's true in our day. It's true in Jesus' day. And in Matthew 5:43, did you catch what Jesus did? Something he never does. Jesus, on purpose, misquotes a passage from the Bible. Jesus said, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Now, the phrase, "love your neighbor," came from today's Old Testament reading, Leviticus 19, verse 18. But the phrase, "hate your enemy," is an insertion by Jesus to reflect the common practice of his day of the people of Israel. You see, the people of God at this time had adopted a two-faced approach to love. If they were required to love their neighbor, fellow Israelites, then the obvious inference to them was, then they should hate their enemies, non-Israelites. Now, while Israel did okay at loving their neighbors, they excelled at loving their enemies. Many even believe that their hatred of others reflected God's judgment as well. So Jesus inserted the commonly accepted but totally unbiblical phrase, hate your enemies, to reveal Israel's common and ungodly practice. When Jesus said, you have heard it said, hate your enemies, he may well have been quoting a popular saying of his day that over the years could have applied to Egyptians, Canaanites, Philistines, Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, and especially at the time of Christ, Romans. You see, hatred or disdain or dislike or distaste or lack of compassion for one's enemies extends beyond the time of Jesus. Today, common decency or political correctness demands we show a certain kind of niceness to those we don't even know. But the reality of life is this. Our own sinful nature compels us to treat our enemies and those people who bother us with less than kindness, less than niceness, less than love. Our sinful human nature compels us to repay insult with insult, abuse with abuse, hatred with hatred. And here comes the big question of today's sermon. Whose name is recorded in your mental black book? Is it that person who cut you off in traffic? Is it that person of a different race or culture that's moving into the community? Is it that person you see at school or maybe even at church who is rude to you? Is it a neighbor or coworker who has wronged you? Is it a family member who has your name in their little black book, so by golly, you're going to put their name in yours? The people addressed today in Matthew chapter 5 must have shaken their heads when Jesus rearranged their common saying about enemies. Because he said, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Here we have a departure from black book philosophy to good book philosophy. Jesus redefined the terms of love. According to Jesus, our enemies are also our neighbors. And they too are to be loved. And Jesus explained this in no uncertain terms when he told in Luke chapter 10 the parable of the Good Samaritan. Today when you go home, I encourage you to read Luke chapter 10. It's on your outline. Let me just summarize it briefly. You need to realize that in Jesus' day, the people of Israel had a special hatred and disdain for another group of people called Samaritans. Samaritans were half-breeds of a mixed race, part Israelite, part Assyrian, an ancient enemy of the people of Israel, compared to the pure Israelite. They look differently. They dress differently. They talked differently. They ate different foods. They worshipped in a different way. Oh, goodness, this has no application to us today, does it? Oh, a good Israelite at this time would not let one of those kinds of people come to their homes. In this parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus purposely makes a despised Samaritan the hero of the story. From this parable, we get a common expression for anybody who takes time to help another person. What do we call that person? We call them a Good Samaritan. The parable is a story of an Israelite person who is severely injured on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Lying there in his road of misery, bleeding and beaten up by a robber, he is passed by two good Israelites, two of the best, a priest and a Levite. Today we would call them a pastor and a church elder. These good Israelites just didn't want to get involved with the man who was injured and dying. Oh, there was so much blood and such a mess. And by the way, they were on their way to an important church meeting. So these men did not help a fellow Israelite whom Leviticus 19 calls their neighbor. But then a despised half-breed Samaritan walks down the same road. Comes across that injured man, and what does he do? He cleans the man's wounds with wine. He soothes the man's wounds with olive oil. He lifts him up and puts him on his own donkey, takes him to a motel, pays for a room, and tells the manager of the motel if he incurs any other expenses, charge it to his account. All of this a despised Samaritan does for an Israelite whose own people wouldn't lift a hand to help. Jesus' point was clear. A neighbor is anyone in need, even an enemy. And God takes delight in teaching unloving people what love is by using their enemy to teach them a lesson. Now, could Jesus be teaching us a lesson today? You hear me say this Sunday after Sunday. If you've unplugged from the sermon or are somewhere else for a moment, now's the time to plug back in. Could Jesus be teaching us a lesson today? Of course he is. It's so easy for church people to talk a good talk about love, but in God's name, to not be loving. I came across a poem that illustrates this reality. Now, I warn you, this poem is a little biting, a little sarcastic. It kind of reminds me of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Listen carefully. I was hungry, and you formed a committee to discuss my hunger. Thank you. I was in real trouble, and you crept off to the chapel to pray for me. Nice. I had a different language, skin color, and customs, and you discussed my kind with your friends. What good did that do? I was lonely and desperate, and you talked about the love of God, and you quickly left. Why didn't you stay and listen to me for a while? I've messed up, made some mistakes, done some things that have upset you. I guess I'm in your little black book. You seem so holy, so righteous, so close to God, such a good church member. But I'm still hungry and lonely and in pain. And if this is how you feel about me, does that mean that God feels the same way? In Matthew 5 today, Jesus calls us to love our enemies, love those who are different than us, to pray for those who persecute you. He tells us to not be like the sinful world around us, whose motto is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Stick it to them before they stick it to you. He asks us not to keep our personal black book up to date. He asks us to act as his beloved children who have been loved and forgiven by him. How can we do this? We find ourselves shaking our heads. How can we love those who hate us? How can we love those who bother us? How can we love those who make our lives difficult? It goes against our very nature. It goes against our sinful human nature. How can we love? We cannot on our own. But Jesus' life of love is both our salvation and our example and our motivating strength. Take a deep breath with me this morning. Lay aside that black book and listen to God's good book. Here is real love. John 15, verse 13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, but that he would lay down his life for his friends. Take a look here, will you? John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, but that he would lay down his life for his friends. Because our Lord Jesus loves you, yes, you, he chose to give up his life rather than to lose you to the powers of sin and hell. He paid for your sins. The record book of your sins has been torn in pieces, erased. In the possession of Almighty God, there is no black book with your name on it. Imagine that. John 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You are the sheep that's gone astray, and so am I. We have sinned and hurt others, hurt ourselves. We've offended a holy God, and the scripture is clear. The soul that sins shall surely die. But Jesus, the good shepherd, has died your death. He has paid your penalty. That black book that has recorded your deserved penalty has been torn up and shredded forever. When our dear Lord Jesus was upon that cross, paying for your sins and mine, next to him was a bad, lifelong criminal whose deeds got him crucified. Crucifixion was the Roman capital punishment. In the last moments of that thief's life, the Spirit of the living God creates faith in his heart in Jesus, who he's hanging beside. And with his last breath, he asks Jesus for mercy. And what does Jesus do? Listen to Luke 23. Then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. The criminal's black book did not follow him to the grave. I could go on and on with Bible passages, but not now. Instead, a brief but a well-known story will be our sermon conclusion. A story that has its basis in fact, made into a popular song some years ago. A man sat on a Greyhound bus looking out the window. His face filled with anxiety and his eyes with tears and fear. He was coming back to his small hometown and his family after serving many years in prison. He had really messed up and hurt people. In the process, his family was wounded deeply. And he wrote to them saying that he was coming home on the bus. And he asked them to put a single yellow ribbon in the old oak tree in front of their home. And if he saw that single yellow ribbon, he would know that they wanted to see him and he could come home again. But he wrote that he'd understand if there was no ribbon there. And if there were no ribbon there, he would just keep his light on the bus and not stop and keep going. But as that bus neared the corner of the small town where his boyhood house was, he saw the large oak tree. There was no single yellow ribbon in that tree. The oak tree was filled with yellow ribbons. And behind the tree, his family and his friends cheering and forgiving and welcoming him home. They had thrown away the black book with his name written in it with all his offenses. The gift of forgiveness was his. My friends, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you, Almighty God has thrown away your black book and ripped it up forever. You are welcome home. You are loved. This is life according to God's good book. My dear friends, throw away your black books. Don't waste any more of your precious life keeping a black book on yourself or on anybody else. You, God's people, are good book people. In the name of Jesus. Amen.